Welcome to the chat with Father Matt. Every week we'll chat about the faith with various people. We plan to keep the show light and interesting, and we'll even sometimes get off topic, but we'll always try to be a beacon of light. If you have a subject you'd like to discuss on the show, just send us an email at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. Welcome back to the chat with Father Matt. This is Father Matt here, and I have been graciously put in the studio with Father Ned Brown, the pastor of the Fort Recovery Cluster, the big wig, the head man here. I'm just the lowly guy, but I get to hang out with the big wig. How you doing, Father Ned?
I'm doing great, Father Matt.
Good. Good to see you. Thanks for actually putting up with me and letting me have you come on the studio and have this conversation with us.
Well, I don't know. Pleasure to be here.
So we got a big season coming up this next 40 days, Lent. We're going to talk about Lent to kind of help everyone prepare for that. I know we'll probably talk about it in our homilies, and we have Ash Wednesday on Wednesday and go from there. But it's always good to kind of rethink what Lent is and how we can make Lent a better for ourselves, and so we can kind of draw Christ closer to our hearts. So let's talk about Lent, and I guess, should we talk about the history first, or we should just kind of dive in, and what should we do?
Well, let's talk, I guess, a little bit about the history.
Sure.
Just to get them, obviously. I don't know if you want to lead or want me to
lead. It doesn't matter to
me. You're closer to the seminary than I am.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think Lent has been around for almost all of the history of the Catholic Church. It kind of mimics Christ 40 days in the desert, the Israelites 40 years wandering, trying to grow closer to Christ, go closer to the promised land. And then we kind of are just kind of lost in there, and we need to kind of need to remove things for us to kind of have Christ anew in our heart, or God anew in our heart, and purge things that are keeping us away from our Lord. But I guess the Enlightenment of the early Christians, they had a long way of joining the church, and they had to do a lot of things to kind of rid themselves of this world so Christ could enter fully into their life.
Right. I think the gospel begins, or at least the gospel message begins, when Christ first begins to preach. He begins by saying, repent and believe in the gospel. You know, repent and believe in the good news. And he is the good news. So the person, it's not a book that we're believing in more than, rather, it's a person that we're believing in. It's
sure.
The person of Jesus Christ. And yeah. So this personal relationship that we have with him, that God has sent his only son. So all of these different themes, I think, of Lent hit us. Lent is a beautiful time for me, for all of us. I think even the first Christians, as you recall, the first Christians, when you study the history of the church, one of the things they loved to meditate on was the passion of our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and these 40 days is that preparation of this great mystery of our church, of what Christ did for us on the cross, but also what Christ did at the resurrection, you know, obviously, because otherwise the cross would have no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sure. As you said, it's about encountering a person, encountering a relationship, which is huge. I never really thought about that until Pope Benedict kind of gave it to us so beautifully about he is a person, and this is not just some sort of like thing that's out there that you can't really kind of grab onto, but Jesus Christ is a person. You want that relationship with him, and you're called to relationship and friendship with him. And if you have that mindset, I think it makes it easier for us to, I guess, hit a goal or seek a goal to do that, because sometimes we just think God is just up there in the sky,
right,
way far away, and we can't really attain that.
I think because the church has its rituals and things like this, sometimes we can fall into a small trap of losing that, of sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a false argument to say that though, because the rites are something that help, just like any religion has rites. in order for us to reach the divine, so too that's what we have in the in our church. But it's also we have these things that bring us closer to Christ that are an extension, a real presence, a real extension of who Jesus is in our life. So this is a beautiful thing that we see in our relationship with Jesus as we come to know him, as we come to know that he established the church, as he's come to know that he established a way of living for us to adopt and to see. But, you know, I guess going back to sometimes we go into Lent and say, well, what are you going to give up? You know, mm-hmm. for the Catholic, that's sure. the first thing that goes into your right. head. What are you going to give up? What are you going to do? And then we kind of treat it like a rule, and Catholics get stuck up in the rules of it. And mm-hmm. it's your response to Jesus.
Right.
You're the one that's saying, you're the one, you know, let's say, well, you're the one kind of, in a certain sense, establishing the rule. Yeah, how does my right. relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus Christ, how does it want to look? Mm-hmm. Why do I offer something up? Because it reminds me that Jesus offered up his total life. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I can keep my resolutions in Lent mm-hmm. only when I think of that.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
that's my, you know, when I don't think of it, it's easy to, you know, to eat that chocolate bar or whatever yeah. it is that you give up mm-hmm. or whatever that little penance that you want to do. And Jesus asked for us to do penance. Mm-hmm. Remember, in, I guess, in the gospel just recently where he says, if these things have been done for you in Bethsaida, mm-hmm. he says, woe to you, Bethsaida, which was that town that he was going in. If the things have done in your town, that if these things that I did in your town, these miracles I did in your town would have been done in this other, in, what was it, the Nineveh, mm-hmm. they would have been long repentant.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't see the people mm-hmm. didn't repent. Mm-hmm. They were given the miracles, they were given the proof, but they never changed their hearts. And I think that's what the whole point is. It takes a while. It takes us 40 days to get into it because mm-hmm. our hearts are slow to move. They're slow to change.
Sure. Yeah, know? I mean, no one likes change.
No.
Change right. is, it's uncomfortable. It just kind of puts us out of the comfort that we're always used to. But most change helps us to be a better person, to continue better relationships. So I think the first question we should ask ourselves is, what is my relationship with Jesus Christ right now? And what is hindering me from having this relationship that I know I want to improve?
Right.
And if you can pinpoint things like that, I mean, it could be social media, Netflix, something like that. I mean, going to all these sporting events, it's not that sporting events are bad or anything like that, but if that is a higher priority than our relationship with Jesus Christ, how can we change that? Or, you know, focusing on food all the time or drinking or right. Our significant other, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our husband, or wife, like if that's higher than Christ, then we got to kind of work with that. And that's, then you can go and do the fasting, the almsgiving, the prayer, and how you can right. kind of incorporate Christ.
Because a lot of people, you know, we go for the, you know, the church gives a suggestion, you know, like certain suggestions. And usually, you know, I used to joke that I gave up watermelon for Lent. Why? Because there was no watermelon available, right? So that was an easy one for me to do, an easy sure. layup. Mm-hmm. But I was reminded of just recently, I was reading, preparing one of my homilies. I read someone else's homily. And the bishop came to visit the priest. Mm-hmm. And it was time for confirmation. And so they're doing confirmation. And the priest said, He goes, Bishop, don't you think you should be doing something better than this? And then the bishop said, well, what do you mean? What could be more important than going over these sacramental records mm-hmm. before? And he says, well, Bishop, what about the rift between me and you? Huh. Why don't we get along? See, that's the elephant in the room. And I think that's what Lent has to deal with first. Mm-hmm. What's the elephant in your room mm-hmm. right now? Maybe you have that, you know, cone of silence between you and your spouse. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's yeah. what you have to work on in Lent. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's, you know, maybe there's something that needs to be forgiven or you have to forgive someone in your life.
Mm-hmm. Or relatives. I mean, not just
right. spouses. Right. Sure. Right. Exactly.
I mean, we have big families out here and we can kind of get in kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Just go yeah. underneath someone's skin and not say the wrong thing. And then you don't have that connection that you once had before.
Yeah. Exactly. And then I remember this one priest when I was in a seminary, I was doing catechism and talked to the priest, and you know, I was giving up my typical superficial things, and the priest, I said, "What are you giving up for Lent, Father?" And the priest said, "Well, I'm going to go to my parishioners that don't get along with me, and I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to say, how are we going to fix this?"
There we go. And so if you receive a phone call from Father Ned,
yeah,
then you had some kind of difficulty with him.
Exactly. So, no, I hope that doesn't happen.
Sure.
So, but those are the types of things. I mean, in anyone's relationship, that's, you know, it's difficult to get along with people.
Sure.
And those are more challenging ones, at least you know, open your heart to the other person. You might not come to the full reconciliation of really understanding another person.
Because it takes two people to do that.
Exactly. And the hurt might be so deep, but at least try. You know, at least and we begin, I think, what the Lord said, you know, pray for your enemies or pray for those who persecute you. We start there with prayer, you know, trying to get into what's that person's like? Why did they think this way? And then, at least in your own heart, you say, I forgive them. You know, whether you can untangle all the knots that have happened in a lifetime.
Right.
That's, you know, it's going to take heaven for most of that stuff to be washed out, you know.
Sure. And then we can always go back to that relationship with Christ. And people say that they always want to improve their prayer. They can add more time to give to our Lord in silence.
Sure.
And things like that. But in our busy, hectic world, it is hard to do that. I mean, even as priests, it's hard for us to just get away from whatever we have to do and give that time to our Lord. So Lent is a perfect time to start that, make that habit, go forth from there.
Get to know Him. You know, that's the thing. A lot of times we don't read enough scripture or meditate in our own life. Who is this Jesus that's asking me? You know, what is He asking of me?
Sure.
What did He do for me that He can demand something like this?
Mm-hmm. And I think the daily scriptures that are at Mass during the Lenten season really help us to kind of understand who Jesus is and what He wants to be in our life and what He did to come to save us and to allow us to enter heaven with Him at the end of our life. It's really good. So if you can't go to Mass, find those readings online. But we do offer Mass every single day, not just in Lent, but every single day throughout the year. But Lent, I think, is a good way to kind of just start the day off right, because we have it at early in the morning on Monday, Thursday, and Friday. And we have it in the evening for anyone that works on Tuesday night. And then for anyone that wants to take a little lunch break, we got it at noon on Wednesday.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just that little bit of scripture that's in there, because there's three, four different passages of scripture all related to this subject. Every day, you know, and it does, it brings you through and helps you to get to know, you know, the basic tenets of who Jesus is and who our Lord is for us. So I think that's, for me, it's always getting back to the Word is always going to help us to get closer to the person of Christ. So
let's turn towards like the bare basics of Lent. It's starting on March 1st this year for Ash Wednesday. We have three masses that are available that day. We have a 7 a.m. mass at St. Peter, and then we have a noon mass at Mary Help of Christians, and then we have a 6 p.m. mass at Mary Help of Christians. And at that mass, we receive ashes on our forehead. Usually it looks like a smudge, but the priest tries to, or the person giving ashes, try to make a sign of the cross. I think there's even a website out there showing like what kind of cross is on your forehead, and they have different names for it. If you can kind of check that out, just kind of funny to look at that. And then you go and see politicians online or on the TV, and you know they show that I went to Mass for the first time, probably the only time this whole year. But so we start Lent out there, and it's a good way to start it out. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to go to Mass, but we really encourage you to make that Lent right, to kind of solidify what you want to do to make that relationship right with our Lord.
Right. The rite itself is something that enters us into a spirit of penance. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the ashes are about. The ashes are actually come from the palms from the previous Easter,
mm-hmm.
or Palm Sunday,
sure.
From the year before. So they burned them, and they incinerate them and turn them into ashes, and then we use them again. And then the priest will say, you know, remember you are dust, and dust you shall return, or repent and believe in the gospel. Right. One of those two. Mm-hmm. So usually I rotate them just to see
how it is. I remember doing the same blaze blessings for the first time, and you say it the same thing over and over again. It becomes like a tongue twister for you, mm-hmm. and you don't even know if you're saying the right words or if you what comes out of your mouth. And your mouth gets dry, and it's all kinds of fun there. I don't know. Maybe I should get some water and drink more water before I do it. But Ash Wednesday is also a day, we say, of fasting and abstinence. And there's only 2 days that we fast in our church that are mandatory. We could fast every single day if we like, anytime we wanted. But Ash Wednesday and Good Friday are days of fasting, which really isn't too hard of fasting necessarily, because the church asks us just to have one meal and then the two other meals to be smaller and not equal to the one meal.
That doesn't mean you take that one meal and make it a big smorgasbord,
right, exactly,
feast.
You know, it doesn't mean you get to your lobster and shrimp and crab and salmon,
right,
and cook it all up and then, you right. know.
So you take a normal meal that you would regular have, mm-hmm. and then you take another normal meal that you would regular have,
mm-hmm.
and split that into the amount of it. Now, what is it? How old do you have to be?
I think it's 18 to 59 for fasting.
With 7 more years left. So,
yep.
So the fasting, so you can, if you're over 59, now you can continue to do it,
sure.
you know,
mm-hmm.
After that as well. But if you are a person that has, or diabetic or something, right. that might be, have
pregnant
some
or
issues,
mm-hmm.
right, or if you're in the hospital and, mm-hmm. the hospital gives you something to eat,
sure.
don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, your sacrifice for that day is that you're in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And then we abstain from meat
right.
on Ash Wednesday and every Friday during Lent. It's still in the code of canon law that we are called to abstain from meat every single Friday. But in our United States, the Conference of Bishops say that we can do another sacrifice instead. But
we have to remember that. We have to do another sacrifice.
Right. Sure, exactly. So if you can always put meat
right.
there and sacrifice that, that's because it's always there on your mind, but you got to kind of think about something else to sacrifice.
I know this one priest I know, he would not put salt on his food in those days.
Mm.
So no one knows that you're not doing that. You
that's
know?
True. Mm-hmm.
It's a very hidden sacrifice, but if you're used to putting in seasoning your food,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't season his food that day. Like mm-hmm. he'd eat oatmeal. I don't mm-hmm. know if you ever eat oatmeal without sugar in it mm-hmm. or cinnamon, but you know, it's pretty nasty. When
yeah.
so
yeah,
he would do stuff like that. And I just thought that was very ingenious, and no one ever knew except him and the Lord.
Wow.
So those are little things that can help. You know.
Sure. Yeah. And, it's good. I mean, I think in the Ash Wednesday readings, it says, you don't have to be like the Pharisees and not wash your face and not comb your hair and
exactly.
be like, oh, I'm fasting. This is a horrible thing. Like, I think it's more beneficial to us if we do these small sacrifices without knowing about them, so we can glorify God just between us two.
Right.
And we can offer up those sacrifices for other people too if we know that they're
right, they have spiritual and even sometimes material value. Spiritual value is that apostolic intention.
Mm-hmm.
Because of your baptism, you're baptized in Christ, your sacrifices become as valuable as our Lord's does.
Mm-hmm.
And then the material is, some people, you know, they say, well, I'm giving up that cup of coffee that day, or I'm giving up whatever that meal is that I do. And I'm going to give that money towards some poor person or
sure.
some, you know, and give that to the soup kitchen or whatever it might be that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you enter into a solidarity with your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes everything more meaningful, more dimensional in your life. And you're not just so self-centered, it's myopic point of view of one's own life. You go out, you look up, you look out, and you look after those that are around you. And it makes your life, you know,
sure.
enriches your life and opens it to many different things in your life.
Yeah, and I think that's what the church kind of means by almsgiving.
Right.
We don't want to just, like, find that $20 bill in our wallet and then just you know, throw it in the rice bowl bucket for the CRS. I think we there should be meaning behind those things, like that cup of coffee that we're giving up. I know we don't have Starbucks or these kind of fancy coffee places that charge $5 a cup. But
they can't compare to my coffee.
Well, though. That's in true. My office, you got to give Father Ned's Illy coffee, his cappuccino espresso. Very, very good. I only like coffee, but when he makes it, it's pretty tasty. But those sacrifices there, just giving up those things. Or a night out for a meal.
Sure.
Just little things like that, like cooking and just being with the family can be kind of sacrificial, even if you're tired. And it would just be easier to go out and have that meal with the family. There's many things out there on the internet that are Catholic and want to help. I think Lent is not necessarily just a Catholic thing. It's a pretty big Christian thing. But there are many things online out there that want to help us make Lent a more, not enjoyable, but more a better Lent than they've had ever before. I know Matthew Kelly, Dynamic Catholic, he has a thing you can sign up for. It's called The Best Lent Ever. I think Bishop Robert Barron has an email that comes out every single day. Kind of has reflection about the readings of the day and kind of how you can make Lent better this year. I have a friend from Franciscan University of Steubenville. It's called Redeemed Online, and he does these short 1 to 2 minute videos on Facebook. I think you can sign up and actually get them on email, but I try to share those to just try to help people kind of recall their relationship with Christ in their life. And 1-2 minutes, I mean, you can't miss that, and then that might just kind of help start out that day and make it a better day than what it could have been.
Right. In our parish, we're going to do on something new this year for the Way of the Cross.
That's right. Yeah.
So, not the Way of the Cross is new, but we're going to... We moved the time on a Friday to 3:30, so it's right after school, so the kids got time to walk after school over, and do the Way of the Cross. It's the 14 stations. If you don't know what the Way of the Cross is, it's about the 14 stations of the
Passion of Christ.
Passion of Christ. And so we're going to have those at 3:30. When I was a kid, I used to do that every Friday in Lent. I remember we'd walk across. I'm from Minster, and there was a sidewalk in grade school that actually connected the church and the grade school. It used to be the Catholic school there because that's all there was in the town, in all these towns was Catholic schools back then.
Sure.
But they all switched over to public schools. So anyways, they would, right after school, we'd walk over, and we'd do, sometimes I would serve those and didn't know what I was doing because I was so young. But, and then... Now we're going to have it at 3:30. So hopefully all the parents that are listening, and maybe they can let their children walk over, do the Way of the Cross. It only takes like 20 minutes, half hour. They'll be done, and some of the they can stick around too, and we can have some activities too afterwards for the kids if you want. Sure. So,
and then we're adding stations again back to Sundays at 1:30, and we're going to rotate those at the three open parishes since St. Paul is under renovation. I was at the Knights of Columbus meeting last night, and Mike colleague, I guess he's been asking for it, and now he's been tasked to kind of assist it. Now he kind of lost his voice, so he called on his brother Knights of Columbus to assist at these Stations of the Cross. One, to make a sacrifice to go to these Stations of the Cross, which I think really helps him in his Lent, but also they want to try to kind of promote the station or the Knights of Columbus too, so kind of show themselves out at the parishes and representing our church well and helping lead us in prayer. So,
and if you haven't been around some of these churches, sometimes you could just go to Mary Help's church, but at St. Joseph is one of the most beautiful Stations of the Cross. Mm-hmm. It's three-dimensional. It's in color. And when I was in the seminary, we wouldn't even use a text. We would just go and meditate every Friday, and we'd do our own personal one. And that's another thing you can do. You can do that anytime during Lent. You don't have to wait till Friday. You don't have to wait till, you know, when we have them in the community on Fridays and on Sundays at 1:30 and Fridays at 3:30. So these are the things that you can do, but you can always walk in. Those churches are always open, and you can do your own Way of the Cross there. And it's a, you know, just look at, just look at the thing, the different images, the artistry of them, and reminded what our Lord did for us. Mm-hmm. And it's very helpful.
Yeah. So, I guess one last thing I would just want to kind of encourage those listening is confession. I think the only way that we can really kind of understand what our heart desires and our relationship with Jesus Christ is if we just give over all of the sins that we have committed. And they don't have to be huge things out there, and they might be huge things out there, but just give those over to the Lord. I encourage you to just go to confession, humble yourself, come to the priest, and begin Lent right, which is kind of a blank slate, and let God open your heart and be with him. We have confessions always available before the Saturday evening Mass from 3:30 to 4:15. We have confessions on 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesdays. We actually have a special event on March 14th from 5 to 9 p.m. Someone will be hearing confessions, and we'll continue to have that 7 p.m. Mass. The event is called The Light is On for You. The whole Archdiocese is opening at least one church in every cluster, but every Catholic church in the whole Archdiocese, and confessions will be available for a good extended period of time, and also we'll have a Lenten cluster penance service Monday, March 6th at 7 p.m. at Mary Help of Christians. We'll have four priests available to hear all the confessions that night. Thanks for listening, and I want to thank Father Ned for taking time out of his busy schedule for joining me on the chat with Father Matt. If you have a subject that you would like to discuss with me and anyone that's on my show, feel free to email me at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or message me on Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. Also, we're available on iTunes, and the way for this podcast to go up the ranks is by rating it, so please rate us on iTunes. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune again next week for the chat with Father Matt.